But we have Alan Gwynn here today. He's kind of our featured soloist this morning, and we are doing some really, really, really fantastic old hymns, some of my favorites, hopefully some of yours as well. So first off this morning, if you'd like to go ahead and rise, we're going to start with a song called How Can I Keep From Singing? And it's just really about praising God, and you know, when God is there, we're just reminded that all we have to do is sing his praise, and amen. All right. And Alan, I'll give you a little
an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring, and though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing? Shouting your name, I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. And I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives, and I will shouting your name. I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I can sing in the troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and fall down again. I can sing, you pick me up, sing, 'cause you're there. I can sing, 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I know I am loved by the King, and it makes to sing.
Amen. You may be seated.
It's my joy to welcome you to worship this morning. It's a privilege to be gathered as we seek to give praises to God as we are led in song by our praise team. I would especially like to extend a great welcome to those that are visitors, and encourage you to please fill out the attendance pads that we will have passed out and provided for you. I just have a couple of quick announcements to share with you this morning. The first concerns that this Wednesday there will be a Lenten to Zay service at 12 o'clock in the Memorial Chapel. It's a time of prayer, a time of singing some short songs, and being in meditation to God in this time of Lent. Also note that Bible Basics will be meeting this Wednesday at 6:15, but please know there will be no Asbury Now dinner, okay? We will resume the dinner April 2nd due to spring break. And the other thing I would like to mention is that it's time to order the Easter lilies, and if you would place your orders before Sunday, April 13th, that is just greatly cherished to have those blooming flowers around the church. And at this time, we're going to share a real quick video clip of the 30-hour famine.
They don't eat for a long time, and if they do, it's just a little portion.
Yeah.
They don't have clean water. They can't go to school.
Yeah.
It's just really sad that they have to live like that, and they're young. Like, having to experience that at a young age is really sad.
Yeah. All the stars singing,
and all the thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
One in the chorus of this world.
Joy to be a part of that, and I would like for us to stand and greet one another in the name of Christ, and then we'll continue in worship.
All right, and if you'll remain standing, we're going to continue with one of my all-time favorites, the Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away, cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll share
divine, a wondrous beauty.
they sing. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange
Amen. Before we invite the children up for children's moments, we have a very special opportunity to really think and ponder about what it means to be in mission. And there's a great privilege for some young folks this next week who are going on a mission trip to Fayetteville. And I want to invite them forward. They are from our children's ministry, and there's some parents. And if they'd come over here by this prayer rail, we're going to offer a prayer for them. That's Jackson South, Jackson Dale, Henry Gallup, Caleb Ross. And then we have Sherry South, Alicia Gallup, and Johnny Ross. They'll be in Fayetteville from Wednesday to Saturday, helping, this is a conference-wide children's ministry initiative for them to be involved in missions. And we're going to say a word of prayer to bless them and send them off to do the work of the Lord in Fayetteville. And so if you will, with me, bow your heads. Holy God, we do bless. We bless these great people who are going out in your name, united together, to go and help serve those who are in need. We pray for them that they would encounter people that would make them think about where Jesus is in their midst, who Jesus is amongst them. May they know that the work they do, God will glorify, that God will help change the lives they impact, and they will be just as impacted, if not more impacted, by doing this great work of the church. We bless them, Father. We ask that you keep them safe and bring them back to us in good health, but changed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now I invite the children forward for our children's moments.
Hi, kiddos. That's really awesome. You guys are going to go to Fayetteville next week. Are you going to see the Razorbacks? Maybe not. Okay. Well, you're going to be working, aren't you? Sorry. Well, sometimes I don't like to see them either, but, you know, they're going in spring practice and all of that. You guys doing okay? Hi, George. How are y'all today? Anybody have a birthday last week? Hi, sweetie. How old were you? 4 years old. That's awesome. Can we sing, Christina, can we sing happy birthday to her real quick? Can we do that? Can you lead it for us?
Yeah, sure.
Then she can tell her friends we sang happy birthday in church. What's your name? Maddie. Okay.
Maddie. All right.
Are you ready?
One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maddie. Happy birthday to you.
There we go. Awesome. That's so cool. I tell you, you can tell your friends you got to sing happy birthday. All right. And you're five. Golly. I tell you what, you guys are just growing up. You're almost six? Okay. All right. Okay. Let's talk about some stuff Miss Laura wants us to talk about this morning. Does anybody ever get dirty? Do you get outside and play and come in and say? Sometimes? He came back dirty, didn't he? What does mommy and daddy do when you come back in with dirty clothes? Besides saying, why did you do that? You have to wash your clothes. Miss Laura, and you have to take a bath too. Miss Laura's got some stuff in here that works on that. There's a Walmart Great Value Stain Remover. Now, when I go eat lunch, I have to wear like a napkin or something so I don't get my food on my shirt, so Miss Carol didn't have to get the stains out. This is wonderful stuff. It gets all of the stains out. Not that anybody here would ever get dirty. You spray it out. That's right. But you know what you can do, and this is, I'm old enough to remember when this was invented. This is called Scotch Guard. It's made by a company called 3M, and what they market this to do is, you can spray it everywhere, and then the dirt won't stick. Isn't that cool? You don't want dirt in the house, that's for sure. It makes it smell good. Well, you know, does anybody know what sin is? Have you heard that word? No, I hadn't either. Hi, sweetie. Well, sin is when we do things that we're not supposed to do. Now, I know none of you guys ever do that. I know all of you. But you know, sometimes we do things maybe that our parents tell us not to do or that the Bible tells us not to do. You want to sit there too? Okay, you stay right there. There we go. All right. This is really cool now, I tell you. So, but you know, we have a Savior. What's his name?
Jesus.
And he came to save us. So when we sin, when we do things we're not supposed to do, we can pray to Jesus and... That's right. We can ask Jesus to forgive us, and God sent Jesus into the world to pay for our sins, right? So what do? We pray and say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins, and they're all washed away, just like this fabric remover removes all the stains. There's nothing left, and your heart is pure. Now, also you can pray to say, Jesus, please help me not sin. We're all human, and we're all going to make mistakes. Even adults make mistakes. They may not admit that, but they do. So Jesus can also coat your heart and help you prevent sin coming into your heart, kind of like Scotch Guard keeps the dirt off your clothes and furniture. So remember, and we're going to pray together here in a minute, remember Christ came to save our sins, to forgive us, and to make us not want to sin. Yes, sweetie. Jesus died on the cross. God sent his only son so that we don't have to worry about sin. Let's pray together. You pray after me, okay? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to forgive our sins and to protect our hearts. And thank you for our parents and families that keep us going in the right way. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. You guys, I think Miss Laura's got some suckers and treats for you back in the back. Don't fall, George.
I know I say this every time I'm in here, but how blessed are we with these children? I mean, they're just... I really mean it when I say that these children just remind us of what Christ wants us to be like. And we have a joy of getting to help raise those children up to be even stronger Christians than they are now. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Christ, you take away our fears. You take away our stress. You take away our nightmares. You help strengthen us from our frailties. You place us on a strong foundation where we can stand and proclaim you as our Lord, seeking to follow you and have you be the example of our lives. Lord, this is one crazy world we live in. Oftentimes there's so much bad news that it tends to overwhelm us to the point where we can't really even fathom what is actually going on in the world. But one thing we do know is that you are present everywhere. You are present with those that are hurting, who are in pain, and you never leave them. You're always there for them to lean on your shoulder, for you to grasp them in a hug, and to always be a listening ear for them to say what they need to say. Lord, we ask you to strengthen us this morning that in our worship we would be thankful. In our worship we would be proud to serve you. In our worship we would be grateful for all the ways you've blessed us. Help us to be that. And Holy God, we do pray for so many folks this morning. We pray for Megan Arnold, for Sean McNerlin, for Chi Dolan, Martha Humphreys, and Fred Clark, for Lisa Orr, Jim Wilson, Bobby Pines, and Nancy Davis. We pray for all those prayers that aren't spoken aloud this morning, that are resting on people's hearts. You know them, Lord. Please tend to them, care for them, comfort them. And now we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward with our offering bags, I just want us to reflect on that video we saw briefly ago of the youth and adults who were here a couple weeks ago participating in that 30-hour famine, depriving themselves of food for 30 hours to see what it's like, to experience just a fraction of what it may be to go without food. And part of the church, part of the responsibility of the church is to feed the hungry. And we did that through 30-hour famine. But guess what? We can continue doing that through our own communities, the own missions that we support at Asbury Church. And so I invite you with an open heart to give to those ministries this morning. Let us pray. Holy God, bless these gifts that we give back to you. May you use them for the benefit and for the glory of your kingdom, that all might know your name, all may be touched by you, and that your word of love would be rippled out to all who are in such desperate need of hearing the comforting words of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That on the cross
my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
We are blessed with Alan and Christina, yes? We are so blessed. At this time, we come to the reading of the scripture passage, and it comes to us from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, and I invite you to hear these words as they are read aloud, and I hope that they will rest upon your hearts and minds and they would impact us this morning, that God would enter this place. Hear these words. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Behold! Behold! It kind of sounds like a medieval sorceress just having cast a very powerful spell, right? We don't use this word behold anymore. It's kind of foreign, at least to me it is. But quite simply, behold just means take notice. Look. Draw your attention in this way. Now, this one of the last phrases of Christ may not sound as astounding to you as perhaps forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, or today you'll be with me in paradise. Yes, this is our third in a series from Christ from the cross. This phrase, we may not have encountered a lot. If we have read it, maybe we've kind of rushed past it. But what we've spoken about with these last phrases of Christ, these last cries, is that these words Jesus speaks from the cross, they are not meaningless. They are not fancy words, flowery. They're filled with meaning. They're filled with purpose. And here today, let's put on our hard hats and dig to try to figure out what Jesus might be saying to us this morning about, behold your son, behold your mother. Now, let's think about where we all are, where the passage is leaving us. There's a big old gang of Marys who have gathered, right? Pretty odd. Mary, the wife of Clopas, Jesus' mother Mary, and Mary Magdalene, the three trinity of the Marys, okay? And we have the beloved disciple. All are there and are at the foot of the cross where Jesus is in his last moments. If we look at this picture on the slide, we can see the emotion that Mary, the mother of Jesus, must be feeling as she's comforted by this disciple. And we think in our heads how Jesus must be feeling seeing his mother there, witnessing what's going on to him. And we think about Mary's perspective and seeing Jesus in this torturous way. And what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus seeks to make sure that his mother is taken care of. You see, one of the assumptions is that Joseph may in fact be dead. We haven't heard a lot from Joseph in a while. We heard about him when Jesus was 12 years old at the temple. He wasn't there when he was at the party with his mother and he did the water to wine act. So it may be fair to assume that Joseph has deceased. There is no one really to take care of Mary, and Jesus' brothers have not yet believed in who Jesus is yet. So when Jesus says from the cross, behold your son, behold your mother, he's trying to ensure that his mother is taken care of. And who does he entrust it to? This disciple who has stuck by him at the end, who will take care of Mary and will lead them away from her seeing Jesus die. When we think about this situation, we think about the pain that must be going on, the pain Jesus must be feeling. And that's the one thing that really connects us all as humans. We've all experienced pain at different points in our life. And Jesus has experienced that same pain and grief and hardship. Think about it. Think about the pain Jesus felt when his friend Lazarus died and he wept. Think about the pain he's going through while on the cross. And one of the things we teach in the Christian faith, that we profess, that I think is so very important, is that Jesus is not only fully God, but he's fully human too. He's experienced all that it is to be God, but all that it means to be human as well. To feel hurt, to feel pain, to feel abandoned. And that's how Jesus relates to those people who experience pain. When you've lost a loved one or a close friend, Jesus is there for you to lean on, for you to talk to. Maybe it's a time in your life where you have great pain and you just can't verbalize it to everybody yet. But there is Jesus who you can verbalize that to, who is there to listen and grab hold of you and bring you in an embrace. One of the things we think about, and how does this relate to Lent? How does this relate to everyday life? Well, part of Lent is going through the wilderness and chipping away at things that are not so good, trying to reform who we are. And the one thing we may want to be careful of is Jesus went in the wilderness alone, but he didn't say we had to go alone, did he? We can go in the wilderness together, as a people, as the body, helping one another. And so the question goes, how can we help those who have lost loved ones? And I think there are two really important things we can be doing. The first, obviously, is to be praying. Praying for them and with them, intentionally, getting on our knees and praying that they would feel God's blessing, the will to live, peace. And the second thing to do is to be present with them. To be present with them. Now, that's the most powerful thing we really can do, is be present with those who are mourning and grieving a loss. It's not a time for quick answers to complicated questions of why. It's not a time to try to comfort them with a superficial response. So let us cast aside, he's in a better place. Let us push aside, there's another angel in heaven. Those may be comforting words to us when we go through pain and loss and we're trying to figure things out, but they aren't appropriate to say to others. The most powerful thing we can do is to be present and to say to their face, I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be there for you. You're my brother or sister in Christ. We are connected. Whatever you need, day and night, I'll be there. That's our response. I remember in seminary, there was a pastoral care class that I took that revolved around death and dying. It was very uplifting, let me tell you. And we had a special visitor come in who described the last day of her spouse's life, of her husband's death, and then what had happened afterwards. And she spoke about how on that last day he had very labored breaths, and sadly the last memory she has is him doing this wailing. And some of you may not be familiar with this, but some refer it to as the death rattle, where the person before death is just making this noise. It was very discomforting to her, so she struggled with that. But a great struggle happened afterwards, trying to figure out all the things she needed to work out with his life, having to cancel magazine subscriptions, having to cancel the credit card or the store cards in his name, going through and figuring out what things needed to be sold, what needed to be kept. And it it stressed her out, these things that she didn't realize she would have to do. But the one thing those first few weeks that comforted her was the response of her brothers and sisters in Christ, those who brought casseroles, who brought flowers and cards and were there to sit and just talk about the good memories of his life. But she told us in that class something very important that I want to share with you. And she talked about how congregations are so giving, they're so helpful and comforting, and that first response to when a spouse or a loved one dies. But after the fourth or the fifth or the sixth week, things start to go back to normal for everyone. Start to go in the routine and forget that that person's in need again. And she told us that was the time where she needed people the most. Because those weeks where she could talk with people, it prevented her from really feeling so alone. So what I want to say to us this morning is that as brothers and sisters in Christ, after that 8th, 10th week, a few months down the road, we need to be continually checking in on those who have lost loved ones, those who have faced great tragedy, because they need us. Their whole world has been turned upside down. Even though we may have been slightly affected by that, their whole world has changed. And our response must be one of compassion, must be one of helping them go through that wilderness of life they are encountering. Many of you have lost loved ones, I'm sure, in this room that have gripped you. And it took a long time, and many people, grief may fade after a time, but its impact, the impact of that loss will never go away. So we go to the wilderness together. We as the body of Christ work together to love and show one another support. And that was the key to the 30-hour famine. The youth, the adults, and everyone there relied on each other. Relied on the fact that we were doing this for God. Because let me tell you, it would be way easier to snack on some food if I was by myself. Right? At that 28th hour, seeing that delicious cookie. But the way it worked was they could lean on one another. When one stomach groaned, everyone else thought, yeah, I'm hungry too. They felt the pain of one another. They understood what they were going through, and they could do it together. They could do it together. My brothers and sisters, this morning, we've said many Sundays, countless Sundays, that we, the church, can change the world. How many times have you heard that? A billion, right? Almost goes without saying that when someone says that, you just kind of nod your head, right? Doze off. But here this morning, hear the proclamation that Jesus is saying from the cross, behold your mother, behold your son, is also to be directed to us. We are to behold one another. And we do have the power with God's grace to change the world. It won't happen if we don't believe it, I guarantee you. But if we believe that this morning, that we, with God, can change world hunger, that we, with God, can help those that are pushed down in the dirt, that we, with God, can help make this world more loving, more kind, we can do it, but not alone and not without God. And that's why the church exists. We are here to serve together, to give together, to pledge our lives together so that we can show together what people need and what this world needs. And that's Jesus Christ. So my brothers and sisters, when you leave this place, stick it in your minds. We go as a family. We go to help one another. We go to reassure one another. And we go to be spreading our mission to change this world together. Behold one another, and behold God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's now time for our closing song. At this time, we would certainly invite those that need time for prayer to come forward and use our prayer rails. And also, if you've never beheld Christ, taken sincere notice on Him, let's do that this morning. Be glad to speak with you about that and make sure that we have that change that only Christ can do, happen. Let us be standing.
My chains are gone. I've been set.
earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. Yes, you are forever mine.
Amen. Well, can we change the world? Can we change the world? Can we change the world with the power of God? Will you behold God? Will you behold one another? Then go forth and spread the message of love to everyone you meet. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.